The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by Grape Ape.
Grape Ape, a Canna-Barbera production. George. Welcome to High Inside, the only baseball podcast.
Ooh, getting in hot.
We got a little bit of time. We gotta move.
It's the end of the season. We gotta finish talking about this so we can move on to football and hockey for you.
Yeah, we got a pie in the oven and it's only got 3 minutes.
We're gonna try to do the whole thing this fast.
And our stop button's broken. Mary Beth, tell me what's the most exciting thing about baseball in your mind this week.
I think we have to talk about the home runs.
Hit them all.
There's so many. The most ever. So the single season MLB home run record was broken collectively.
Right. And we don't know like across other leagues if it's the most ever. Like say there's an intergalactic league in another dimension. You know?
Sure, right.
You know, presumably gravity works differently. Maybe balls fly farther. I guess they wouldn't have 400-foot walls if there was less gravity. Maybe they're...
I feel like the whole game would change, much like the way the game has changed due to the tighter baseballs, how I'll say it.
Keeping it on the rails, I like it.
Tighter baseballs. Less drag,
so yeah,
more
that's,
home runs.
That's the thing you've been talking about is that the baseballs have changed and people have attributed the change in the baseballs to why there are more home runs, yes?
Correct.
And what change did they make?
So there are two things that have been identified that may be responsible. One is that the threads themselves are thinner.
Sure.
Than they were at least 2 years ago. And because of that, they're... allowing for like more stretch or less. Basically, the leather is stretched differently around them.
Yeah.
And the threads are now kind of more forgiving, whereas in the past, they might keep the leather so tight that the balls, some balls would end up kind of like more oblong or like just pressed out in different places. But because they're so perfectly round, they're literally just flying through the air farther.
Is it like you ever see slow motion videos of when balls hit stuff and golf balls like pancake when they hit a wall? Is that one of the things going on? Like the impact and the way energy is transferred is different? Or is it all just like the ball is more spherical there, therefore it flies through the air with less resistance?
My understanding is the latter. It is the drag on the balls themselves because the balls are more perfectly round than they usually are. They also apparently changed the way they dry the leather around them, which meant it just restricted less.
And it tastes better, too. It's a better jerky.
Yeah. It's if you rip that bad boy off, that's good knowing.
It feels like people would be mad at that. They're like, oh, they're changing the game. They should like, but if what they're doing is making the ball more of a ball, how could you argue with it?
Yo, straight up.
Now tell me, do you really want to love me forever?
First of all, I don't think they did it on purpose. I think they were just trying to, I think they made the balls more round on, they changed up the ways they developed the ball. Maybe with more perfection in mind, but I don't think they intended for it to make the ball go farther.
Yeah. Yeah. What genius goes, actually, if you change the threads, we'll have a record number?
No one's that smart. People are that smart, but not who are associated with the league or hired by Rollins taped up all the numbers of the round balls. I don't think this is a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, as a casual observer and someone was trying to get into the game, I picked a team who was bad at home runs, but it's fun to watch home runs.
Yeah. And can I highlight it? Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
Can I highlight a team that's very good at home runs?
Sure.
The Minnesota Twins are jockeying with the New York Yankees they're going back and forth breaking the single season franchise record.
for a team.
Correct.
So it's like a race.
It was previously the Yankees before this season, and they're one of the teams who has beaten it this year. But the Twins took it over in kind of fun fashion tonight, I think, in that Mohamed Sano became the fifth member of the team with 30 home runs or more. And that is insane.
That's crazy. So that's at least a home run a game. Five members have
between
150
those people?
Home runs.
It's almost exactly.
I'm sure they have 12 other home runs, or they're not all perfectly at 30. Some were scattered. So they're hitting a home run a game, literally.
More than it has to be.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's probably normal for a team to hit like 150 home runs in a year. To spread it over five, to have five guys do it?
Only those guys did it? Yeah. I mean, the Braves are looking at a little bit of that with the top of their order, but...
What was that guy's name again? Mohamed Sano? There's like a Mohamed Sanu.
It's really
who's
similar.
Who's a receiver for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. It's really similar to his name.
You
whenever
say Sano, I say Sanu. Let's call them all tomatoes.
We play two different sports.
Yeah. I'm fine with home runs. I like a double. You know what? Here's hot take. Hit a home run, hit a single, hit a double, hit a triple. I like them all.
My man likes contact and drops.
I hate inside the park home runs though.
That's where you draw the line.
That's where I draw the line. They're unnatural. That's my thing.
Yeah.
It's just not.
I wonder if there has ever been an inside the park home run where it was actually like deserved. You know what I mean? It didn't just like plink around in a corner or somebody misplayed a ball. Like,
yeah, I mean, it seemed of the few I've ever seen, it seems always because like you hit it into a weird notch in the park and it just took a crazy bounce, or you there's errors or just
somebody
a comedy.
Like ran up on a ball and it bounced past him or something.
In film, I can name you two. Ooh. I believe there's a Babe Ruth movie made back in the day where Babe Ruth hit a ball so high that he was able to run around the bases and score before it landed, and it landed like in front of the pitcher. Everyone lost track of it. I'm positive that's not true.
It cannot be.
But how could we forget the seminal Angels in the Outfield moment?
Of course.
Where I believe they're playing the Hippie Hippie Shake is the song.
Yes.
And Christopher Lloyd is like doing all the juggling tricks with the ball. I believe it's the Oakland Athletics. Why do I remember this? As they try to like wrangle the ball in the infield and they don't. And it's the big catcher guy, right? It's Mesmer.
You're right.
His name's Mesmer. Do I?
Jesus.
What? Why do I know this movie? I watched it a lot as a kid, I think.
I thought I did until you started talking about it.
You know the woman who runs the foster care home is, I believe, the same woman who is also the bird lady in Home Alone 2, back to New York, or Lost in New York.
Yeah.
I think that's true. I may not be. That's a note.
It.
yeah, but those are the only inside the park home runs I can name.
In film?
Yeah,
I'm disappointed. I was looking for five.
When I played the first league that I was in for that was coach pitch, I hit a inside the park home run kind of. Well, I scored. I hit a ball and I scored. I obviously didn't hit it out. But they used to do this thing where
I don't think you need to have anything else for inside the park home
right.
runs.
But they used to do this thing where they would like recap the games in the paper. And so you could see, like, they would pull a couple highlights. This person did this. And it was scored, I believe, a triple, and I scored on errors.
That
and I believe
sense.
My dad was responsible for scoring it, so he wouldn't even give it to me.
That's hilarious. Honestly, though.
It was probably a double with errors. I actually
that's what
think I was... it was a single with errors. And I actually think it was reaching on an error. It was, they overthrew it to first, they overthrew it to second, they overthrew it to third, and they overthrew it home, and I just kept running.
And you know, you've proven the point I was going to make, which is, I think a triple with a scoring on an error is actually the most, the most of an accomplishment he could have scored you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because inside the park home run doesn't necessarily imply a certain hit that it would have been.
I just... And I want, and I like, I, this might be controversial. This league didn't matter, so maybe give it to me.
I wasn't trying to take it away from you. Like, I was trying to say that your dad did the nice thing.
We weren't making money. There was no integrity to this league.
I wasn't trying to take anything away from you.
Give the 8-year-old is inside the park home
I
run.
I know. I was saying your dad did the right thing. You know what? I'm going to give it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can we jump into my thing?
Of course. Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of controversial.
So, three big things happened to the Pirates recently. Here's what they are. One, they were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That's bad. Two, they gave up 47 runs over a three-game series against the Cubs, which is a lot of runs.
So many runs.
I think they also broke a record for most games where they gave up double digits this year. Don't quote me on that.
No.
That's a sub thing. I said there was three things. That's
sure.
Sub thing. And the third is all-star pitcher, closer, Felipe Vasquez has, as of today, been arrested for pedophilia. None of those are good. Obviously, they run the gamut from do not matter, really, to matter a lot in a bad way. It's not worth us unpacking any of those things individually.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't my only thought. We could have thoughts on, you know, that big thing, but why? We're not the people that need to.
Sure.
So because this podcast is supposed to be somewhat about fandom, my question for you is, should I jump ship? I'll try to be into the Pirates this year. Could it have gone worse? They could have been bad the whole way, and I think that would have been better than being kind of good and then collapsing.
You think that would have been better?
Yeah, because
just in terms of hope,
yeah,
or expectation.
For sure. Because then you don't feel the crush. You're just like, it was kind of fun and silly and didn't matter.
Yeah.
And that
you just never would have gotten like that into it.
I couldn't help but hear that, take all these things taken together, I was like, wow, for a year that I wanted to follow the Pirates to see if I could get into them, this was maybe the worst possible year to do that. And it makes me go like, it did make me like baseball a little bit more. And I'm like bummed because I'm certainly not going to follow the team the rest of the year just because it's futile and it's absurd. And I just don't need any of that in my life with other sports starting.
And yeah, I was going to say the other sports you like are starting.
Yeah, there's no reason to keep going with it. So it's like, so why?
Hmm.
Why? I mean, part of it's just I like sports because you get to be that territorial without like it being a thing that really matters or has negatives. You're like, I was raised in Pittsburgh, so I like Pittsburgh teams, and that's all the reason I need to like them. But the more intellectual side of me goes like, but I know that that's silly, so I could just choose to like another team.
Hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that like, let me phrase the question to you like this. If all those things happen to the Braves, would you be that into them right now?
I mean, it would certainly be a lot more difficult. And I definitely, and I think I mentioned this to you the other day, wouldn't have still been following games and watching games as closely as mm-hmm. I have at this point in the season if they were mathematically eliminated.
Right.
Because I can point to seasons where I did that, where I would like check scores and maybe check a game during it and stuff like that. But
why would you hang on that long?
There's no way I would keep listening to them on the radio. Because it also is like, it's not even just that I would lose interest. It's just like, you don't want to listen to your team lose all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just not fun.
Yeah. It's and they don't seem to have many signs of not losing. One of their brightest spots is gone for ridiculous, heinous reasons. So like how do I come back from that? What do I do? Is there much to do?
So my... My biggest thought on this is this has to be rock bottom, right?
You know, I don't want to say that it is.
Sure,
fear
of course.
What karma might do.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know, I was thinking about the team today and how it just didn't seem like they could catch a break. This is on top of stories coming out about Vasquez and Crick getting into a fist fight.
Yeah, we didn't even cover that. And note that in this context, catching a break is just having someone not be a pedophile.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's...
That break.
That's what I had to say about it, I guess. Can't catch a break.
People online were celebrating Kyle Crick and calling him like Kyle Crick pedo hunter, which is like a Pittsburgh like sports guy asked Crick if he knew any of that. And he was like, I didn't know. It was like, clearly I didn't.
Honestly did not think that was part of it.
Yeah.
But it is fun to think about. It also, one of the only other reasons I didn't think that was part of it is because Kyle Crick seems like he just likes getting into fights.
Yeah, he seems like a real hothead. I mean, they had, like, they just, if you're gonna suck, don't have monsters, I guess. I guess, can that be a rule? Like, you can suck with nice people. You can maybe be good with people who are arguable or just kind of, or like, replacement level monsters.
Good rule.
But I don't know if you can be bad and have monsters.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
I don't know that
really
you can.
It's really hard to root for a bad team with bad people.
I mean, I don't want to get into like the roster element of this because they didn't cut. He's placed on like the restricted list.
Right.
So I don't know if that means they could even do anything like that.
I don't know either.
I assume they could because why couldn't they?
You would think
it's not going to matter. He's going to go to fucking jail.
Yes, so, correct.
So they don't like.
But sorry.
Go ahead.
They already went through this with Jungo Kung
and
finally released him this year. It's not even like this is their first player who was supposed to be big for them who was lost to an issue like this.
I don't know enough about Kung at the start, but I don't know if he was like supposed to, if he was like highly touted or if he was kind of like a surprise.
Maybe a little more of a like surprise.
And it was kind of like this guy was cheap and we have him. So like maybe we got to like.
He's got a big bat. He's our third baseman.
He could maybe be the guy.
Yeah.
Because the Pirates seem to fill holes by going like, let's find a 1 in 1,000 chance.
Yeah.
And let's see if it pays off.
Yeah. I guess my only other thought after hopefully this is rock bottom is that we've talked a lot about that, the three parts of the infield that are exciting.
Yeah,
and I still think that those three guys could be able to have a team built around them.
I do too, and I think if I wanted to jump ship, and I think maybe next time I will maybe come up with some options for jumping ship, and we can just kind of see what those look like.
Yeah.
Pros and cons them.
Yeah.
But
I want to talk about like if you could get into other teams and stuff like
that. But I think it would be hard because I do like Reynolds, I do like Newman, I do like Bell. I did like Vasquez though, and look what that got me.
Yeah. It's a lesson in heroes, my friends.
Yeah, don't have them.
Don't
like people. This was the worst year to try to start being a Pirates fan, I think. Right?
In terms of it getting you up and then crushing you down.
Yeah.
I can't think of a worse one in recent memory.
I can't think of... I don't think I could design a... I mean, of course I could design, like...
Yeah.
They're actually all...
I was going to say, every day, different pedophile is literally what I was going to say.
Clearly, more pedophiles is worse than less. Like, that's just... I think that's a Socrates, like, truism. Like, actually, he might be a bad example for that.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we can talk about him and pedophilia together.
He's actually been canceled.
How'd you get canceled before television? Am I right?
I don't know, Socrates did, baby. Or Socrates.
So
to bring it back to Bill and Ted, which we've never talked about.
Yeah, I was going to say bring back.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they traveled in time, so they had to go back places.
Sure. I think that Clint Hurdle might get fired.
I mean, at this point...
How does he keep his job?
How do you go forward seriously without going like, you know what? This was so bad that the only way we can kind of move forward is to kind of just... wash as many things away as possible.
Blow it up, baby.
It doesn't even have to be about Clint Hurdle's aptitude as a coach.
Nope.
If it's just simply like, this really sucked for a lot of reasons. that aren't really anyone's fault.
Yes.
And the only thing we can think of to get rid of this stink is to just kind of wash it all clean.
Yes.
I think that's what you do.
I think so, too.
But yeah, so that's fun. Real quick, Braves news.
Yeah, not the most fun news in my department either, to be honest. Though we secured a playoff spot for sure. Don't know, you know, whether it's a wild card or the division yet, but it'll be soon. Magic number's 3.
Yeah.
Bad news is we've lost Johan Camargo and Charlie Culberson for the rest of the season, including the post.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And that's your depth, essentially.
That's our depth. That was the top of the top two dudes on the bench.
And Culberson got happened to Camargo? I didn't see the Camargo thing.
Camargo pulled Christian Yelich and fouled a ball off his leg. It hit him slightly lower than it did on Yelich, but they were both out for the season for very similar fouls off of, like, lower knee.
And Culberson kind of got a freak hit in the face by a pitch during a bunt attempt.
Yeah.
It was ugly. We were watching the game when it happened.
I haven't seen something that, like, really stunning during a baseball game in a really long time.
Because the thing is, when someone gets hit in the helmet with a pitch, there's a big sound, and that sound is at once very concerning, but then you also go like, well, it hit him in the helmet.
Yeah.
This hit him, and like, plain to see, hit him in the face.
I watched it happen live.
Yeah.
They didn't re-show it for a very long time because it looked really bad.
It's pretty brutal. I mean, it's not like gory or gruesome. It's just you see the ball and you see him hit him in the face.
It is stunning.
Yeah,
it
it's not like there was blood and like
scary. Yeah. You're just like, oh God.
Yeah. It was, and more of the controversy around it. That was a called strike.
It was a called strike. It was a tie game, and Nationals manager Dave Martinez appealed to the first base ump to ask whether or not he went around, and he ruled that he went around. So after they got him up off the field, after he was just lying on home plate for a while, they announced that the count was 0-1, and
someone had to like step in and take the at-bats for him, right? Or the at-bat from him.
So they actually had Tehran up because they were still going to bunt, but when they found out it was an 0-1 count, Snitker was absolutely furious, like as angry as I've ever seen him as a manager. Obviously pretty emotionally charged. You just saw this guy get fucking nailed in the face with a 91-mile-an-hour pitch. He promptly gets ejected.
Sure.
And continues to give him a piece of his mind. And then they put someone else in to hit because they don't want to bunt anymore.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, I think that it's also important to say that Fernando Rodney, who is a veteran pitcher who's pitching for the Nationals, who nailed the guy in the face.
Yeah.
Then stayed in.
And he didn't mean to.
No. Like, and but it, he was like,
he had to be shaken.
He was visibly shaken is what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying like he hit someone on purpose and they should have taken him out. No, I'm saying he was understandably pretty shaken up by the scene. They didn't take him out. He gave up, I think, 5 runs after that. And it makes you go like, okay, to me, if he was worried enough about the strategy of this moment of the game that he asked if the guy checked his swing, why the fuck didn't he take the pitcher out after he gave up 4 fucking runs?
Yeah. Is it like, you just hit that guy in the face? We had to pause the game for 10 minutes and it was really scary. What's the count? 0-1? You're still going to pitch, right? Okay, everyone go. Like, no.
What?
Take
That's
him out.
Insane. Yeah. Like, the only you know, possible strategic defense I can think of is that their bullpen is absolutely garbage. It's just ravaged. Like, they may not have had anybody else, but at the same fucking time, come on,
man.
Yeah,
what do you do?
It just seemed completely inhumane.
I'll say this. Yeah, like, I'll give you the, like, going, well, that should technically be a strike because you're still kind of playing the game, even though it's kind of shitty.
Me too.
But you take your... Take your guy out. If you're not going to have sympathy for the other team, have some sympathy for your team.
There were a lot of Braves fans who were sympathizing with Rodney as the pitcher.
What I will say is that Snicker seems like he picks very obvious spots, but he picks the obvious spot when the obvious spot is the right spot to pick.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Like, I completely know what you're saying, and really I completely agree.
He really does. There's part of me that is sure that whenever a manager goes, I'm going to go get thrown out.
Yeah.
Because they know that it's just symbolic.
Yeah,
and it'll,
it's time. Yeah.
Yeah. And he seems to pick the right spot.
He's the Rafiki of it is time.
It's not like very like, oh, that was a clever spot to pick. It's very like, yes, that was the spot in which you do this. And he seems to like hit those all the time.
He has really good professional and emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
I really think he does. I think he understands his clubhouse intimately, and I really appreciate that about him.
I hope one of the things he understands about his clubhouse is whether or not anyone is a pedophile. Because that would be the mark of a great manager. In honor of the Pittsburgh Pirates being mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, we thought it would be prudent to talk about things that we are mathematically eliminated from in life, i.e. things we've aged out of. What do you got?
Kids Week on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. I know I would have been good at it as a kid, and now I'm not smart enough to be a Jeopardy contestant, but I could have been as a kid.
Yeah.
I could have crushed a kid.
And, like, I could crush all those kids now still.
Oh, absolutely. Destroy them. Like, they'd cry.
Like, what fun. Like, it's just not fun to part of the fun of Jeopardy is guessing the answers and getting questions that you know and go like, I know that. Or, ooh, I figured that out from the clue. But when it's stuff that, like, Sally Struthers, that's a real person. Like a third grader from, you know, some place knows. It's like, and listen, I don't get them all right. Those kids don't get them all right either, so shut up. But yeah.
I'm never going to get to do it.
Yeah, I don't like Kids Week.
All right, what you got?
For me, standing at the front, near the front of the stage at concerts. I am balcony age. I love going to concerts. I love going to shows. I love going to rock shows. I love going to, like, smaller indie rock shows and small clubs that are intimate. They don't really have chairs and everyone just pushes up. I am never going to stand in a sea of smelly, sweaty people next to giant speakers in my life.
There's just nothing about it that's worth it. The only thing I can think of that's worth it for me is visibility, but you can see everything from the balcony, baby.
Yeah, I'm a balcony guy. I like a chair now at concerts.
Usually there's a bar up there if you want it.
I used to always be against sitting down, but nope, I'll sit my ass down. It's great.
I wanted to call you a square, but, like, it's like you were cool. Yeah. So, I don't know.
There was, like, you would call them, like, a scene kid. Sure. Like, you, like, oh, that's a scene of you. Like, scene being seen was a thing. And just, like, these are the rules for going to a ska show. You got it.
I knew that had to be. Yeah. It had to have a word.
Yeah. What else you got for me?
Okay. Being featured on Toddlers and Tiaras, but as a toddler.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a toddler.
Mm-mm. And, like, I could still be a mom or, like, a judge, but...
I would like to try still to get you on Toddlers and Tiaras and just be like, I know what you're thinking. She's... How old are toddlers? How old are toddlers supposed to be? She's a toddler.
We should film that. Yeah.
I know it. I know she's tall. She's a toddler.
There's too many years on her. I get it. But yeah. I don't think you'll regret this. Yeah.
You ever see Benjamin Button? Or is it or is it the Robin Williams movie Jack? One of those. You ever see either of those?
Which one of these applies here? Either one? Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those two.
What's your last thing you're mathematically learning from?
Lollipops. You know, like a blow pop Blow pops are great.
Yeah.
There's a specific spot in a blow pop where you don't lick it down to like the gum part.
No.
You get to the candy parts thin enough and you chew it and it's great.
Yeah.
And I should amend that to blow pops in public. I think a scene an older man having a lollipop in public. I don't like it. I don't like the optics. You
right.
know? An old man with a blue tongue, get him out of here. Just get him out of here.
I say get him on Toddlers and Tiaras. Eric Braben was the inside scoop.
That was to Mary Mary Why You Buggin' by Run DMC, I believe. Mary Mary Why You Buggin'. I guess it really can't be anything else than Borderlands 3 right now. It's a video game, a RPG first person shooter kind of game that's built on like procedurally generating a bunch of random weapons. So there's like millions of combinations of weapons that you can have in the game, and they're all like silly and cartoony and do goofy things. I am a big fan of the series. Played the series a lot with a good buddy of mine. Like, and that was in the era where you had to be sitting next to each other to play video games.
Mm.
And now 10 years later, they released the third, and we can play online, and it's great. And if you're into video games like that, it's probably at least 100 hours of fun. Literally, I still like a good video game like that. Me and a couple friends are timing it up. We're talking online and going like, when are you getting home from work? How much time do you have? Cool, cool, cool. And we all get to be like little 15-year-olds again, even though we're twice that in age.
You lost me at procedurally generated weapons.
That's fair.
I actually overheard one of my coworkers asking the other what he was going to do tonight, and he answered Borderlands.
Yeah, it's the kind of game that like the way you play the game is to just play the game a lot. Like the story doesn't really matter. You kind of just go like, yeah, we'll just do this a lot, and we level up, and then we get new skills, and then we beat more enemies, and then the enemies get harder, and our skills and our weapons aren't good enough, so then we find better stuff, and then you just like, like you know how people like it's like I feel like it's like watching The Big Bang Theory, you know, where it's like this is just kind of on and it'll continue forever as long as I like leave the TV on and the stakes aren't really real, but if I pay attention, I may like a joke, I may not. Someone else might be saying this.
I understood.
Yeah. And it's just like comfort in like the consistency and the foreverness of it that you can just keep going. Yep, we just keep going. Like,
yeah,
it's junk food, but fun junk food that you can play with your friends. We could play it together on the couch too, and I've been thinking about trying to get you to play it, but I don't think you would like it.
I would try it, but it's not my game, baby.
Yeah, the looking and the moving with the two sticks is your Achilles.
I like being able to move forward with one stick and jump over turtles with the other button while I do it. Talking about Mario.